Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there.
Hi, I'm Frank Fascino Jr., and you're listening to Out There with TJ.
When I was in the third grade, I remember seeing a craft up in the sky, and it was an oval craft, and it went across the horizon. And I looked out the bedroom window, and I yelled out to my mom and dad. It was the summertime, and, you know, I was supposed to be sleeping, but I didn't want to, and I'm always looking at the stars. And this thing had lights rotating around it, and my mom and dad and I watched as much as I could out my window. We watched it go across the horizon from north to south, and it was due east of the house. And I remember I told kids at school, like when school started back up, and of course they kind of made fun of us. But
right.
My brother and I saw it. But, you know, through my whole life, I've been interested in these things, and I've had some experiences. And I have a person on the phone that has had, I don't know if she's had more experience than anybody, but she's had as much as anybody, I'll tell you that. Her name is Lizette Larkins, and she lives in Malibu, California. She's written four books, three of the books about ETs. You wrote a book called Talking to Extraterrestrials, Calling on Extraterrestrials, Listening to Extraterrestrials. And then you also wrote one I think I kind of like, Difficult People. So please welcome Lizette Larkins. How are you doing, Lizette?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you very much for coming on. It's 3 hours behind my time, so I figured, well, hopefully it's not too early for you.
No, never.
You have a really, I read your book, especially the first one, Talking to the Extraterrestrials, and you've had some amazing experiences and really very positive experiences, haven't you?
Yeah, well, yes, but, you know, it's very, very hard. It's challenging to talk about encounter experiences without also addressing life experiences, because as it turns out, they're one and the same. And what I mean by that is we really have to look at the principles that undergird the law of attraction to understand what's going on with respect to ET encounter phenomena, right? So,
right.
You know, we tend to like the ideas in the law of attraction, which states that like attracts like.
Right.
And we know that we're supposed to use those principles if we want to attract all the goodies in our life, but we forget that they also apply to drawing in experiences, including people, beings, events, circumstances, situations that are resonating with our predominant thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it's, you know, people ask me, well, were you abducted or was it the good one? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is if we recognize that on planet Earth there is the whole spectrum of evolution, spiritually speaking. So mm-hmm. we've got mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein over here, we've got Mother Teresa over there, and we've got, you know, these wonderful do-gooders and these wonderful do-batters, as we call them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the all of it. Well, imagine then in the universe, the scientists already say that there's, you know, I don't know, I lost count, was it 30 billion galaxies or something? So there's a lot of life out there. Just like on this planet, there are a lot of potential experiences. There are a lot of potential beings.
So you're saying there's a balance of both sides that we could experience, depending on what we want to draw in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we attract that. So, look, I have people in my life that I love very dearly, and I see them actively attracting everything that they say that they don't want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it holds true for experiences on the planet and off-planet and everything in between. So if we don't like what we're getting, whether it's a person or a being or an entity that we say is victimizing us, the challenge with UFO phenomena, and particularly UFO investigators, is they do not recognize the correlation between who we are
mm-hmm.
in our predominant mm-hmm. beingness and who we're attracting.
Yeah, the spiritual side of it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because everything is spiritual.
You know, and it's like I've talked to some UFO investigators before, and, you know, I've seen a lot of different programs, and they all seem to be focused on one thing, and they seem to miss out on the spiritual evolutional side of it, that all of
why,
us are.
And why do you suppose that is? Because we focus on where we're resonating presently. So if I am, if let's just say my predominant vibration, because everything is made up of energy.
Right.
So everything is vibrating very fast or a little bit slower. So if my predominant vibration is in the band of, say, doubt, cynicism, suspicion, or fear, those are the lower bands, I'm not going to be interested in talking or exploring subjects that have to do with the higher bands, which are enthusiasm, passion, joy, exuberance, right? Freedom.
Right.
And so even in the topics that we're interested in talking about and exploring and investigating, we tend to focus on that which we are. See, so it's a kind of like the dog chasing the tail. It does get to be, you know, a little weird because we realize that we're all kind of doing it to ourselves, because, and we all come in with the same baggage. We all come in not knowing about those principles.
Don't you think, though, some of us, Lizette, are maybe, you know, they talk about like old souls. We've been around the block a few more times. Maybe we've learned a few more things. Maybe we just came in more aware. You know, some of us maybe are ready to move beyond this. We're not stuck like some of the ones that haven't been here.
Are you asking me if I feel that that's the case?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but even in the so-called old soul paradigm,
mm-hmm.
it still takes a lifetime to master. So even those people who are old souls and they feel that they're on the spiritual path, again, we look to see, okay, great, how much more discipline can we use? Because it does require discipline. It does require discipline to notice, what am I attracting? What is it that I want? And if I'm not getting what I want, what do I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about being a Pollyanna. You know, I don't feel it's about, for example, there may be somebody who's presently having a very traumatic encounter experience. I'm not suggesting that their own experience isn't real. In other words, I'm not saying, oh, you know, just buck up. They're actually, you know, just grow up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there is a mechanism by which we recognize our responsibility in the matter, and then we take steps to change that.
Hmm. And why? We're not even talking about ETs, but this is fine with me.
We are, though. I mean, it applies.
Right, it does to them. I guess to all these beings that are out there. I guess what I was going to say was that we can change this in an instant, can't we?
Absolutely.
Everything around us.
Yes, and so those of us who feel that we're really becoming conscious and we have more sense of self-reliance and more sense of self-responsibility, and we're really looking to see what we're creating and what we're manifesting, so then we just play a bigger game. We just play it to a higher, a higher game, to a better ability. So almost the lessons never stop. It's the same stuff. We're just going to do it in a more expanded way. So as you may recognize, many people historically on the spiritual path are broke financially.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's an area that needs to be, might be healed in that, you know, with respect to that kind of group. So there's always an area in which we can grow and expand.
Right.
And so
when
we're talking about aliens,
right,
then when we want to know neighbors, whether it's the neighbor down the street, or who are we attracting? What kind of neighbors do we want to know? What kind of friends do we want to have? What kind of relationships do we want to have, right? So it's all the same stuff. Love relationships, alien relationships, it's all the same stuff. And so, because we're all in the same soup. So once we figure out what the true conundrum is, then we just become disciplined at calling to ourselves what we want.
Mm-hmm. And you even have a technique I saw that's really what I thought was cool, because the law of attraction, and you explain more in detail. I guess you have a series of discs that people can purchase, but why maybe some of the other things that, you know, people try different things to make the law of attraction work. I just think it's fascinating that you worked with these extraterrestrials, and this was what they were about. They were deeper spiritual beings. Not everybody seems to realize that.
Well, yes, because again, those people who have been who have been traumatized by, say, a Saddam Hussein of the sky, they have a lot. They want to talk about the trauma, and they want to talk about their fear. But what they're unwittingly doing, as are the people who are listening to it, are continuing to resonate fear, 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 fear,
right,
fear.
Right.
So one, they're going to get more of the same. They're going to continue to get more relationships in the flesh of that same resonance because they're focusing on it. So there are specific techniques that once we recognize, wait a minute, I don't want that, okay, then stop talking about it. Stop
right.
focusing on it, right?
Right.
Whether in this, you know, here or in the hereafter, or in this world or the world after, or it all applies.
So you started having these Was it conversations? Was it visitations? You said you were very young. What was the first thing, time something happened?
When I was about 7, and I actually started to meet this group of ETs that I continue to know today. And for me, as many people, I did not grow up in the kind of family that you talked about it, or going to my classroom in the day. I started daydreaming about it. I couldn't stop thinking about them. And it was difficult for me to concentrate on my schoolwork because it seemed so irrelevant. You know, I wanted to look at the greater topics of the universe. Mm-hmm. And so we were looking at the minutiae. And so it started to already become somewhat alienated from me, the focus on the minutiae and the nonsensical way that we as a culture look at, it seems as though, everything that really doesn't serve us. For example, we don't touch on any of these principles in school, right? The law of attraction and how do we get what we want instead of what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We don't touch on any of that ever in any school, college, mm-hmm. nothing, right? So we go through life and we're upset because our lives aren't what we want. And then, of course, we start to believe that spiritual growth means letting go of our dreams. Mm. And that is really not necessary.
Mm. So you can have your cake and eat it, too.
Yes, if you want to, but it does take some discipline. It does take a focus. It does take a decision, really, to say, okay, I'm not giving up on myself. I'm not giving up on my dreams. I don't care what the obstacles are. I don't care how old I am. I don't care about my family of origin and the baggage that I took on from birth. I'm going to do this thing. And sometimes that's all we need, and to me that's what I think friendship is that we all encourage each other. We all become a little discouraged now and then. But that's the role of friends, and that's the role, to me, of media, which acts as an inspiration and an encouragement just at that one moment when somebody just needs to hear, hey, you can do it. We've all had these really horrible, difficult days, but we can do it. We can do this thing.
Mm-hmm. So the ones that have visited you, and I know a lot of it came right directly through your mind, is it the same group or is it different groups?
I have seen other groups, but the one, it's the main group. It's the same group, and there's not just one. There are many of them, although the one when I had my onboard face-to-face encounter experience in 92, one of the more significant ones because just of the what went on there, there were, initially there were about 4 or 5, and then I saw more in the distance. But the main communication, of course, happened telepathically, and it functioned much like a reunion, just this amazing reunion in which, people come together and say, wow, it's been a few years, how you been? And checking in, and it's kind of like a barbecue down at the park or something, although it was in deep space. So, but I don't know how those things work scientifically. We were talking about that off the air as far as the so-called law of gravity seems to be violated.
Yeah, the way they can just cut through space like that, huh?
Although, interestingly enough, the law of attraction is even senior to the law of gravity. So,
I got to believe as beings of light or whatever we are in our true source, balls of energy, nothing, there's no limitations, right?
Right, exactly.
We could really possibly go and do anything if we truly believed it.
Yes, of course, it does take legwork, but the majority of it happens behind the scenes with respect to our belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take courage to look at our underlying belief system for all of us, because even when we think we're getting pretty good at having an open mind or believing in limitless living, we tend to come up against our own belief system,
right,
particularly with respect to interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why those are so helpful for us, because we get to look, right in the mirror, which is, of course, what Difficult People, the book that I wrote most recently, is all about, which is, what do we do when we find ourselves in a situation in which we can't leave, in which we can't just turn our backs on and walk out, whether it's, in my case, caring for a woman who had Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
or with an aged parent,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. What do we do? What spiritual practice do we do then? Because ultimately, if the law of attraction is in effect, then it's most important that we feel good, and that we feel peaceful and happy. But then, of course, how do you feel peaceful and happy if you're in the middle of trauma? So those are the questions that inquiring minds ask.
And do you feel like there's things that kind of point you along the way, like synchronicity? Is that tied into any of this?
Well, yeah, I would say definitely. Not only experiences, but if the soul is really calling to itself to be the grandest version that it can be, then of course all those so-called difficulties are the great awakener.
Mm.
You know, the bad encounters, the bad relationships, they help us know what we want. Most importantly, the more difficult the situation or the experience, the more we are able to say, okay, now, this is exactly right there is what I do not want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can calmly turn your back on it and say, what is it that I do want?
Right.
Ah, I want this, and I want this, and I want this kind of life. And so you see how you immediately switch your energy? So instead of focusing on what you don't want, it doesn't mean that you're denying that it happened. You're looking at it, you say, ah, that right there, I do not want that. What is it that I do want, right? It's just typical law of attraction stuff. But it helps us to feel better, which is what I did when I was with Jeanette, when I was caring for her, and she was so difficult and so angry. And I would focus on something else, but I would still, my body would still in the environment, still doing a job.
So these ETs that you've talked to, do you still talk to them? To this?
Oh, yes.
You talk to them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And what kind of conversations do you have?
They're all, you know, they're, I guess you could say they're the grand life coach.
Mm.
They've been mentors, dear mentors to me, and just like any mentoring relationship, sometimes they need to step back a minute and let me master the lesson that I'm on, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because this growth thing, this attempting to put into place the life that we want, that's why we're here. You know, we're creative beings,
mm-hmm.
and we're designed to win. We're designed to manifest. We're designed to decide what it is that we want and to make those things come true. It's not supposed to be a struggle and a, oh my God, and, you know, be broke. We're not supposed to be broke
right.
and struggling.
Abundance.
Yeah, right. Not only inner abundance, as the spiritual masters have said, but it applies to physical things as well because it's all the same stuff.
Hmm.
You know, we can attract happiness and we can attract financial abundance too. So it's not mutually exclusive, although many of us have gotten sidetracked that's we have to kind of give up on our dreams if we want to live a spiritual life.
Right, right. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I see nothing wrong with being extremely successful. I believe we should have abundance. I believe life should be filled with joy. And the more abundance you have, the more joy you're going to have because you're not struggling.
Right, because we're creative beings.
And creating, I love to create. That's why I got into broadcasting, because I can do a lot of that.
I do
a radio show where I can goof around in the morning and act a little silly and act like a kid. And kids love to create. And then I do commercials afterwards, and I produce them and you know, come up with ideas and maybe some different voices. That's creating, too, and I love that.
Yeah, and you have such a great voice, such a radio presence.
I'm one of those radio guys.
Wow.
And then when I do this, it's like I guess I'm creating something that from your experience and other people. I love this as well because this to me is like we're defining the truth in a lot of ways. The way I mean, the truth is there's all different forms of it, right? I mean, you don't.
Well, yes, but it's the truth for people who've called this show to them to because they're on that particular. They're right there, so they're
right.
Calling the show that's on the topic. So it's kind of cool because anybody who's not resonating with it will turn it off, but anyone who is resonating to it called it in because they wanted to hear just that.
You know, I think if people look at this, and I'm going to write some text for this show, it lies at Larkin's, talking to ETs, calling on, and they're going to go, oh, this is a UFO thing. And it's like, you're going to miss the bigger picture, but I'm also going to say everything else because this really is about our spiritual growth, isn't it?
Absolutely, because what does it leave out if we're talking about relationships, right? There's no difference. The mechanics and the principles are the same, whether we're trying to attract a really healthy relationship here or one across the sky. It's exactly the same, but it's usually not recognized as such. You know, one is paranormal phenomena, and the other one is reality, but they're exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. And so some people, there's a friend of mine that talks to angels and gets guidance through them, and you just talk to ETs.
Right.
And it could be, there's how many other beings are out there? Spirit
right.
guides, whatever.
And then
you
there's
know?
Animal communicators.
Yep, exactly. And I've had my share of animal experiences, so I know that, you know, they're there as well, the animal guides too. So it took you, how long did it get for you to understand what was being said? Did you know this right away?
Str- strangely, as soon as they started talking to me, it was a while before I recognized that they were actually speaking telepathically, and I was answering them. So it was several, I don't know if it was seconds or minutes, but I went, wow, my mouth isn't even moving, and nor was theirs. So it's something that is innately natural to us,
right,
as
right.
are many things such as creating. Mm-hmm. But then we put up all these, you know, there's all these layers and blocks, and most importantly, these internal programs that we've taken on from either the culture or from our families of origin. And then we have all these blocks that prevent us from kind of...
Now, when you say families of origin, are you talking like the cell memory that's passed down through generations?
That too, but I meant specifically our mother and our father okay. and our siblings.
What about previous times? Are we carrying some
yes,
things?
Yes, okay. of course.
Okay.
And, you know, most of us are just trying to deal with the stuff that we had as we were children. And, of course, nobody's wrong. Our parents are never wrong because they had the same experience where they were dealing with what was passed down to them. But nonetheless, those internal blocks and programs that we've inherited almost, particularly, for example, if we have not grown up with a wealthy family, then we often have poverty-conscious internal blocks and programs that mm-hmm. we have to deal with. And sometimes it takes a lifetime. Or there may be health issues. But those things are about looking at what is the block that we've taken on and how do we remove it. And just by being consciously aware that we can remove it, that's 99% of it.
Right. Absolutely. And so these beings that you've been in contact with, and do you know where they're from?
You know, I've asked those kind of questions and it doesn't make any sense to me. And because they describe themselves in the way that they're imbued with this kind of spiritual mastery, mm-hmm. and I experience them as what we would consider to be enlightened or awakened.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they describe it is that everywhere that they stand, or not that they're standing on their feet, but everywhere where they are is their home. Mm-hmm. And they do describe that, you know, like us, we in our lineage had a planet. They had a planet, and they destroyed it, and they moved from there, and you know, how far back do you want to talk about? It's mm-hmm. kind of like, mm-hmm. it just depends on what level of the question you're really asking.
Right.
But this particular group, they describe themselves as anthropologists, and they travel, and they relate interpersonally, and they coach wherever that they feel that they're being called. So our own kind of sense of invitation is what can call them.
Mm. And any one of us could do this, couldn't we?
Yes, right.
And have you heard of other people experiencing these kind of things?
Encounter experiences, yes. And they are as varied and different as are our friends' interpersonal and heterosexual relationships. So mm-hmm. there's all different kinds. It just depends on who you are, what you're emitting, what you want, and how conscious you are.
What you're drawing into your life, right?
Right.
Do you think maybe part of it, though, wouldn't you think also, Lizette, that part of it could be maybe an agreement before you came here, too?
Well, the agreements all often have to do with a soul's purpose or something that the soul decided that they wanted to pursue. In my case, for instance, I wanted to experience a deep love intimacy, but not just with ETs, but with humans. Mm. So it's not at all unusual that I'm also communicating with ETs, because for me, interpersonal dynamics is extremely important to me. And I want to know the ins and outs of them, so to speak. So you can't kind of have one in it without the other. Mm. That's why it's so empty to speak about only one or the other, because you can't. You have to address all of it. So mm-hmm. I came in, you know, from a long lineage wanting to experience that deep sense of bliss and intimacy with respect to relationships, whether that is, you know, love, heterosexual, or aliens, or siblings, or a parent, whatever. That's just my area.
Let me ask you this, Lizette. Have you ever made out with an ET?
They're not sexual relationships. Although I have been asked that on talk radio before. Tell us about the sex. You know, it's like, oh boy.
No, I was just wondering if you ever kissed one.
No, I haven't. It hasn't been a cross-species romance, no.
You haven't had any alien babies in your body that you remember?
No, not that not like that, no. There are agreements. There have been adoption agreements that people have had, and it's much like the program that we have on this planet where when mothers can't keep their children,
right.
they adopt them out. But the challenge is that people people aren't aware that they're concluding mm-hmm. things as their higher self or their soul.
Right, absolutely.
But their mental, you know, their analytical mind's like, I never did that. I don't have anything to do with that. But in fact, they do. They're making decisions.
We don't remember what we chose before we came here.
Or even last night. I mean, how many of us can say that we're conscious of what we're attracting right this minute?
Mm-hmm. Because we're always changing it, aren't we?
Yes.
So tonight,
the good news.
Tonight we might plan, we might step outside our body and make some plans.
Well, but it's more has to do with, while we're in our body, what is our predominant vibration? What is that? Because that's what we're going to get more of.
Okay. Boy, you really got to be aware all the time. That's the thing. You really got to be on top of it.
It comes down to discipline, yes.
You can't let somebody cut you off in traffic and get all mad and get upset. Does that ever happen to you? Are you ever in a state where you're not in grace?
Well, sure, but it's very short because I recognize immediately I'm just going to get more of what I don't want, right?
Right.
So what is very helpful is anger is a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to notice and define what it is that you don't want.
Uh-huh.
And so I've actually, I don't want to say the word perfected, but it feels like that. I've been able to perfect my life the way I want it by becoming very aware of what I don't want. So when that feeling like, yikes, I do not want that. Okay, like I said earlier, okay, what is it that I do want? And most of us go through life and not actually defining or describing specifically what we do want. We only are operating from what we don't want, right? That's why they're so powerful, the definer of what we don't want. Then we can define it in absolute precision. And that's where the imagination comes in also.
That's just, I guess you got to stop and think about everything you do. And I've read this before, and I believe it. I don't always do it. But
well, that's why it takes a moment to learn and a lifetime to master.
The words we choose, the thoughts we think,
right,
it affects
right. And every
everything.
Single person is working on this, whether they're aware of it or not. It just depends. How ready are you to be more conscious of it? So using anger, for example, I'm turning my back on this. This is what I want. And like I said, anger is the great motivator to define and clarify what it is that is, in fact, does light your fire, what it is, what direction that you do want to move in. And so many people are actually just blindly struggling from one day to the next in any given department or area in their life. It's so valuable, anger or upset, it's so valuable because then you're going to get a clear definition. Ah, this is what I want. This is what I feel is important to me. Whereas before that moment of anger or frustration, you might not have actually been aware of what it was. See, that's why it's so valuable.
So these beings, obviously they've shown you many, many, many things, but I know on your site how to activate, you talked about how to activate this, how to make these, how you can change your life.
Yes.
Because the people, like, they watch The Secret, and I like The Secret, but you made a comment, something about how many people from The Secret really have been able to manifest what they wanted.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. How many of us are? How many people did read that or watch it and made huge changes that were beyond just manifesting a good parking spot, right?
Right.
And so that just comes down to making a decision, believing that it's possible, and then using a codified and systematic training or method of discipline to put into place to become conscious of what you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we do that, it's better in a group. Sometimes we have a friendship that we have an agreement, you know what, let's be conscious together. And we together, because it does help to be able to continually remind oneself, oh yeah, that's right, I'm manifesting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's right, oops, I'm manifesting right now.
Right.
And then when we get what we don't want, oh, okay, I'm going to use this right now, this is what I don't want, so what is it that I do want? And those kinds of principles do take a lifetime to master. And the better you are, the more a person has been consciously practicing it and consciously working on it.
And so will it speed up the process? Will things come forward?
Yes. Yes. Although we don't necessarily want to put time limits on things.
Right.
Because then we become discouraged when, you know, they don't
things
occur.
Things don't happen.
But recognizing that it's the intensity, you know, it's the emotional intensity. That's why people often say, it's not fair. You know, it works. If I hate something, I seem to get more of it much faster than I get if I love something. Well, it's because the intensity of hate
is strong.
Is so strong that it pulls it in that much faster.
Right. This makes a lot of sense. Boy, when you're filled with just great love, then you could really, you could make things happen, couldn't you?
Yes, and it does happen very quickly, yes.
That is really interesting. What else can you tell me about these beings? What else do they have to say?
You know, when I think that one of the more challenging things that I learned was when you are in a very, very difficult situation and you can't change it, you can't find a way to feel good, that's when you recognize, and that would be, of course, for the person who, for example, is in jail or is in a terrible dead-end job that they feel that they just hate and they can't get out of it. You know, what then? Then we, what we do is, rather than trying to trick ourselves into feeling good when we cannot, mm-hmm. that's when we implement some practices that I have. I think I have a free chapter on the website, which I can't remember if that chapter includes them, but in Difficult People describes it, which is a practice that just stops the mind altogether. So at that moment, we're not manifesting, you know, our wildest dreams, and we're not manifesting something bad, but at least we're just neutral, right?
Right.
So, because it's very hard, and that was what the mistake that the Law of Attraction made, I think. I mean, rather, the secret is that it's very hard to jump grades, if you will. You know, like if you're in the military, you can't go from a private to a general. It just doesn't work that way. You have to go up the grades, and it's the same way with emotions. You can't go from depression and anger and contempt and jealousy and hatred to enthusiasm, hope, and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the experience of freedom is joy and its financial abundance, because that's freedom. That is the ultimate freedom,
right?
So you can't make that jump. You've got to go up the grade. It's just the way it works. Sometimes we can. Some people who've been in a spiritual retreat, they found that they've jumped 5 levels or something. So it's not that it's impossible, but most of the time, one has to work their way up through the levels of emotion. And then once we reach for those levels of enthusiasm and passion, then we use spiritual practice to stay there and awareness to stay there. And then once we're there more, we notice that those are our predominant vibrations and our predominant thought, and then we're going to just get more of the same. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It keeps coming, and it just expands more and more, doesn't it?
Right.
And there's no end of it.
Right. And that's good news or bad news, depending on what mood you're in.
So you really become very aware of your consciousness and what you're doing as far as on a daily basis, pretty much everything that goes on.
Yes, yes, and use anger for the tool that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, I can't say it enough, is spiritual dogma says, you're not supposed to feel anger, you're not supposed to feel upset. Well, if you feel it, if you have it, notice what is it specifically that is inducing that feeling.
What is it trying to motivate you to do?
Yes, exactly. What is it that I do want? What is it that I do want?
You know, if you're in a job, if you're in a job where you're not happy and people make you angry, well, maybe it's motivating you to go find another job or start your own business.
Yes, or just find the bliss there, keep resonating at that bliss, and then you'll be lucky because they'll fire you. And then, because they'll kick you out to find your bliss. So it all works out.
It happens for that reason. Huh? What else would you like to say? You have 4 books, right?
Yes.
What are the names of the books?
The first one is Talking to Extraterrestrials.
That was your first experience.
Yes, yes. And that came out of this whole idea that there, you know, the drop line on that book was communicating with enlightened beings rather than, this is not an abduction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a kidnapping when they return you to your bed. And then recognizing how we can get more of what we want, which is why I wrote the follow-ups, which were calling on extraterrestrials and listening to extraterrestrials. And then I have had the question, people say, well, what does the fourth book have to do with any of those? Well, interestingly enough, the encounter experiences, if they did anything, they inspired in me to want what they had. And what they had was this predominant sense of inner peace. And it's not that everything always goes their way either, but you know, they are and have been the great mentors in becoming a deliberate creator and then practicing and learning how to be that.
Do these beings, do you know if they live a long, long time?
Yes.
And they don't get
sick? Yes.
And they don't get sick?
No. And if they do, they take full responsibility for it and go, okay, now how did this happen?
You know,
which is, of course, not where we are right now. We're kind of like little carrots on
the carrot. So death to them almost doesn't exist.
Well, they change, but it's more like the way, you know, they can change their form. They are also capable of shape-shifting. And it's not this thing that we have, you know, where it's this horrible, depressing,
right.
And this, you know, this very sad thing that kind of...
What I'm getting at, Lizette, is that we could do that. Could we not?
Yes, yes. It's just a matter of having a deep internal belief that we can't, which, of course, is what stops us.
Maybe there was a time on this planet when we did live for a long period of time.
Yes, there have been those who have suggested
and that. We've forgotten that or got caught up in whatever this illusion is.
Right.
And maybe there have been those who've manipulated things a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. There's so many things going on. So I guess it's whatever what did we want to gravitate. Do you feel, because so many people I've talked to, do you feel like there's this great change going on right now to bring this awareness forward?
Yes, I do. I do, and interestingly enough, it had to me, from my perspective, it has to do with finally an awareness that we can be what we want, we can have what we want,
mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like, you know, as the 2012 approached, it looked like there was this kind of this macrocosmic shift, which of course was occurring, but the most important thing to notice was that it was who we were becoming within ourselves to then manifest and be responsible for ourselves in our own home and our own backyard, which then, of course, magnified individually becomes a whole planet.
Do you feel the planet, speaking of that, is a separate energy as well?
Well, I don't know how you mean separate.
I mean, it's an energy in itself.
Yes, yes.
And go ahead.
Yeah, but we all, you know, it's like, where does the air in the living room stop and the air in the dining room start? See what I mean? It's like, there's not like a line. It's all these commingling energies, and they're all free-flowing back and forth, you know, because our brains are, for example, our brains are magnetizing other energies to us, the same which are resonating to us. You know, just like when your own radio show, people had to, you know, turn the dial or whatever. I don't know how your show is, but you have to turn the dial and get that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm in, you know, Australia, maybe I can't get it, because I'm not, you know, I just don't have that frequency. Well, it's kind of the same thing. So the, you know, the Earth energies and the ET energies and the human energies—they're all energies. And the question is, what are we going to get? You know, what more of what are we going to have?
If somebody wanted to communicate with these beings like you did, would you have some advice for them?
Like any manifestation, it's about identifying what is desired.
Mm-hmm.
And holding that in consciousness and having predominant thoughts that have to do with that. It's no different than any other thing on the top of the wish list.
Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, what's worked for me...
Yeah, I liked your story. You should repeat that story. That was a good one.
Well, when I went to bed, I just thought about it. I wanted to communicate. But that worked with my dad, too. My dad passed away, and I had an experience where I wanted to see him, and maybe he was trying to communicate with me. I'm sure that was the case.
Wow.
And so I took a nap, and I had read in some book that if you just think about it as you go to bed, to me that's one of the easiest ways to do it. Focus on it, let go of things, relax, and they come to you. And so this being came to me in 92, what I would call a gray, and my dad in 96 came to me, and he was just filled with light and love, and he even told me, you know, at the end of it, I said, Dad, if I want to see you again, what do I do? And he said, think of me and I'll be there. And at that very moment, of course, I always set my alarm because I was taking a nap, you know, in the afternoon. The song on the radio was I'll Be There that came
out.
And the lyrics, now this is 96, Escape Club sang this song. I may have died, but I've gone nowhere. Just think of me and I'll be there. And so I know not everybody can maybe draw things in when they're meditating. Not everybody's going to feel things. But I know if you're going to sleep, you can start to bring some of that stuff forward.
Yeah.
Your subconscious.
Beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
That is a cool story.
And so, you know, maybe there's more than one way to skin the cat.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's amazing talking to you. You have so much to offer that really blows me away, because it's not the typical, I was taken, I had a baby, first trimester, they took it away, whatever the case may be, you know, and that's cool. I like talking about anything. I'm always looking for trying to hear people's experiences and hear their wisdom, because I think there's wisdom in everybody.
I agree.
That we can learn from. But yours just blows me away. So if somebody wants to learn more about all this, you have a website?
I have a website. I also will be happy to mail people. I used to sell the CDs, but now I actually give them away.
Really?
If they like to try them for, you know, a couple of weeks and see if they resonate with them as a trial basis. So they can go on my website and they can read some stuff that's up there, be inspired, and there's a chapter, I think, posted there. You can email me or questions or whatever.
And it's LizetteLarkins.com.
Yes, LizetteLarkins.
How long have you been on this journey? Quite a while, huh?
Yeah, my first encounter experience was 7. Mm. But, you know, once again, it takes a lifetime to master.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel better and better in relating to them and relating to others here, too.
Do you think that you could maybe just wake up in an instant like that?
In what way?
Where just everything became clear. I mean, we limit ourselves in so many ways by saying, well, I hope to do this, it's going to take me to do this, and it's like...
Yes, and in 2010, I had this Kundalini awakening experience on Haleakala in Maui, because the geothermal energies around volcanoes are so intense, but...
Mm.
Definitely, and that's also the same kind of thing that happens when we're deeply in love. That, too, is an instantaneous awakening, which is why everything feels so joyous. What is that but awakening?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I really appreciate you coming on with me, and I'd like to talk to you again down the road sometime. And
oh, my pleasure. You know how to reach me.
I think I do. I'm just going to do it through the ETs, and then you can just...
send the craft over.
Maybe we'll say that one can pick me up. Boom.
Sure.
And no, I really believe that's true, that can happen, because I've seen some of that with my own eyes. So you're not talking to somebody who doesn't believe in those sort of things. And you know what? I think anything is possible. There are no limits.
You sound like you're very good demonstrator of that.
So I will keep in touch with you. We'll have the show for you, and we'll put a link so everybody knows how to reach you.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.